The thing about success is as the stakes get higher, as you win more, you have to keep winning. We can't do this alone. And then the more we isolate ourselves, the more painful it is when we fall because we don't have those people around us. You don't have to prove your worth as a human being. Your potential of what you have to offer this world is unique to you. We want to create good habits for our lives, but some of the most disciplined people I know are also some of the most miserable people I know. The best way to discover meaning and purpose in your life is to do good for somebody else when they're not asking for it. I think purpose is found when we're actually doing. You know, it's not a rational, I don't think it's necessarily a rational activity where we have to think about what's our purpose.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the I Love Success podcast. We are on a big, fat, and crazy mission that makes me wake up hungry and alive every morning. Our mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, but let's do it together. Help me by being the best version of yourself and do something with your life. In today's episode, I met with a former pro athlete and now a researcher, Dr. Benjamin Holtberg. We spoke about success, we spoke about performance, we spoke about relationships, we spoke about giving it all, and purpose-based identity versus performance identity, and what is really important to be happy and to be successful and to thrive and to perform. Kick back, relax, and enjoy this amazing episode. Welcome, Benjamin.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you here today and talk about what you do and your research. But let's start with Benjamin as a person. Do you know why you think you were fascinated by sport?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, personally, I was fascinated by it. I think growing up in the Midwest where sports was so celebrated, I saw my dad who loved sports. And I, as you know, as an athlete and others know, there was something about it that when I ran, I just felt pleasure and joy, and I learned really quickly I was just faster than other people. And I love to get lost in that play. And what's interesting professionally is when I retired, to be honest, Peter, I was like, I wanted to move out of sports and just work mainly with my area of expertise of emotions, emotional health, and how emotions are shaped within high stressful environments, usually high risk environments. So I dove into that work, working with lots of young people and their families, and studying physiology of the impact of their environments. And what really brought me to sports, I think, is quite interesting, is what we found with our high-risk youth is, you know, when you're a kid who grows up and your life is being threatened, because when you walk out your front door, you have to be aware. Physiologically, we become really used to that. So we have to be chronically aware of our environment, and we perceive threat really quickly. So these kids that I worked with they tend to be really reactive, right? So you take a kid like this where in their environment, it's important for them to really be aware and often fight to protect themselves. And you put them in school in a place where they're supposed to learn, and somebody accidentally bumps into them, well, they'll perceive that as a threat to themselves, even if it was an accident often. And so what we found physiologically was a lot of these kids were heightened towards reactivity, and that we know this in research and science. But what's fascinating to me, what became apparent too, is when athletes put their worth and value as human beings and how they perform. So when we form our whole identity around performance and whatever it is, the threat of an evaluation of our social self triggers the same physiological mechanisms as if we're being threatened physically in real life. So we're perceiving a threat. It begins to trigger our physiological kind of sympathetic nervous system in a way that doesn't allow us to perform at our best over time. It's not sustainable.
It's so interesting. Mm-hmm. Everything you say is something that I can relate to so much, because when I was young, I was a little bit overweight and I was a little bit picked on and bullied by that. And then I found a karate, which my father was a coach, and I started training that. And I kind of found my way because I was good at something. Mm-hmm. But what I did wrong in the beginning, just like you were saying, my self-worth was equal to my performance.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was 18 was the first time I became a junior champ in Sweden. And that was a great accomplishment for a overweight, bullied kid who almost didn't have any friends, was smallest kid. And the feeling that I had on the car way home from being a national champion, I think is the worst feeling someone can have.
Yeah.
I only thought, how can I defend this?
Yeah.
And this is exactly, I think, what you're talking about. And I learned, I still have to remind myself that my performance is not who I am and it's not my self-worth. And I've learned that during the years. But I can so recognize that. And I know there's so many people that have, everything is equal to your performance.
Yeah.
And can we just talk about that? Why is it like that?
Yeah, well, it was interesting when I started to study this and have come to understand it as a performance-based identity. And studying hundreds and hundreds of high achievers and athletes, is this profile of an athlete emerged of this performance-based identity, is that worth and value gets so wrapped up in performance that it can, what happens is there a fear of failure begins to come up. As the thing about success is, as the stakes get higher, as you win more, you have to keep winning, right? I mean, when you have a performance-based identity, I think what happens is you can reach success and you still realize I'm not enough.
Or enough, right?
And how we define success, yeah. I guess, but you reach your goal and you wake up the next day and you say, I still feel unfulfilled. And this performance-based identity can drive you for a while. It's what gets you up in the morning, right? Like, I had the poster on my wall, the Nike poster. I think it said something like, there's somebody out there training harder than you right now, and when you face them, they will win.
Wow.
Right? Like, that's the athlete. You know, you wake up and you're like, okay, I got to push. And there's nothing wrong with that push for excellence, but what's driving it matters. And so what I found in my work was this performance-based identity gets formed really in a lot of different ways. But one way that it gets formed is we internalize the voices of the people around us, is that the influence of those around us begin to become a part of our sense of identity. And that we carry these voices through our lives. And so you, Peter, at coming to find this, the beauty of karate and how it helped form you and it gave you purpose and meaning was so special, but it doesn't take long before that gift becomes a burden, right? And you set out to say, oh yeah, I've been bullied, so I'm going to prove to everybody I can do this. I'm going to prove that I'm good enough. I'm going to prove that I'm worthy. And that can get you to a point. But the problem with being based in fear and kind of negative emotion to get you somewhere is it robs you of the joy of it. And then once you're there, you can't truly settle in it.
I think that's so hard, especially living in a city like Los Angeles. So performance, like winning and being happy, it could be two very different things, right?
Right.
Because if we look at some of the best athletes, they might be very, very successful in that given field, in that sport. But when it comes to happiness, sometimes you have to sacrifice a lot, like relationship. So can you just talk about that? Yeah. And what do you define as that performance and happiness idea? Because I met with one guy and he said, happiness is not important. He almost got angry. He said, I'm here to make an impact in this world. And I said, yeah, but isn't it important to be happy though?
Right.
He said, yeah, do you think Mother Teresa was happy all the time? And it's interesting idea, but I've thought so much about that. What does everything mean if you're not happy?
Right. Yeah, I think happiness is, positive emotions like happiness, it's really important. I think it's important for us to experience moments of happiness in our life, of experience the fullness of all that's around us in our lives. I do think we have to push beyond happiness a little bit. I think we have to think about things like joy that is not so dependent on circumstances necessarily. And so when we talk about happiness, I think the challenge there is when we often think of happiness as having more stuff, as doing, you know, being more successful. And I think we have to think about it as being more a part of who we are and our identity. And so for me, what I think is more important even than happiness is to have a meaningful life, a life that's full of meaning and you experience joy. And joy is not circumstantial, that we can find joy even in suffering and challenge and difficulty because it's a part of who we are and understanding who we are. And so I think there is a balance with when we think about happiness and performance. I can understand what the former guest was saying around happiness is it's not important, and that he's here to make an impact. I think there's a part of that within that I get is that our personal happiness can't be the driver of how we exist in this world. And instead, I think the driver of how we exist in this world becomes our unique purpose and meaning in this life that's just ours, and how we can contribute to this world in a way that's uniquely for us. That when I say for us, I mean that purpose is for us, but it's making a contribution to the other. I think life without really making an impact on others and thinking of the others is devoid of meaning. And I think that becomes, and the great thing is as we dive into making a meaningful impact, it does bring joy, a sustainable joy, and it does bring happiness too, which I think helps us perform. I often get asked all the time when I speak and I talk to people as they say, Ben, do you think that some of these high-level athletes would have gotten where they were today if they were emotionally healthy people? And I say, you know, I don't know, but how many other kids, how many other athletes could have attained what they did if they were emotionally healthy people? One of the hardest things I deal with as a practitioner and a therapist is seeing young people that have so much potential and talent that never are able to fulfill those dreams because they face incredible difficulty and adversity. And that still haunts me, some of the kids I worked with who died young or took their lives or that's the balance, right? Is that it's not the performance, it's not the pursuit of excellence, it's what drives it that either can consume people and destroy them, or it can come from a healthy place of meaning and purpose that allows them to reach their full potential in whatever activity it is and then long after.
I have two more questions for you. It's been an amazing time, and I think we can talk for days about this because you're so deep into this, and I want to learn more. So this is amazing. Your why and your purpose as a human being, how people that are listening now say, oh, this is all great, but I don't have a why. I want to pay my bills. What would you say to them? Because if we can affect those people to do something great with their community, it will be so rewarding.
I think the best way to discover meaning and purpose in your life is to do good for somebody else when they're not asking for it. And the reason why I say that is, you know, I helped found a nonprofit organization. I was a part of the founding of this organization called Hope Sports, and Guy East is runs it and does all the hard work with it. And it was part of his vision as a professional athlete of riding his bike in all of these kind of impoverished countries and wondering, like, what am I doing? what am I doing with my life? And so he kind of had this moment of discovery of what is possible for giving back to other people. And so with this, it's taken my research and his experience and him wanting to start this a nonprofit organization, and we've brought over 800 Olympic professional college athletes to build homes for the poor in different countries. And what is beautiful in these moments is that people are able to connect to something greater than just themselves, and the meaning that's made in this experience. We know that it impacts them. We also know that it's not sustainable over time unless you foster that on a daily basis. But if you want to discover purpose, connect to a greater cause, something that moves you, even if it's something you see on TV or something that you see in society that you say, that's wrong. There's something needs to be done about that. Get involved and watch how it forms you and shapes you and begins to connect you to other things. And I think that this can be done not only on that broader level of our community, but even on your team. Is if you think about, we're so deeply shaped by the places we work. And if we look around us, how can I impact that person that works in the cubicle next to me or in the office next to me or down the hall from me? Because they're likely in pain too. They've experienced a life and they have a story. And if we come to work in this way that allows us to positively impact others rather than just survive ourselves, you'll find that you get this deep reward in who you are just in that. And so I think purpose is found when we're actually doing. You know, it's not a rational, I don't think it's necessarily a rational activity where we have to think about what's our purpose, but get involved and do it, and then you'll discover it. And I think that that's part of discovering purpose for people. And it doesn't mean you have to give up everything and not pursue success in whatever you're doing. But what it means is that it becomes a part of who you are, I think.
I love that. And I think it's so true, especially when we're in moments where we think, yeah, I got to go on the inside. Sometimes you got to just go out and help someone else and see how their life is. And you can learn from everybody. And we're all about sharing ideas and stories, but at the end of the day, what we really want to do here at the I Love Success podcast is to help the people that are listening to take action in their own life.
Yeah.
So if you could just say one thing that they can do right now after listening to this to get started with their dream, their goal, or their passion,
yeah,
what would be the first step that they can do right now?
I think one of the first steps would be going back to what I said earlier about remembering what drew you to this activity of what you're doing right now, whether that's that you started a new business. What was the problem you were solving with that? What drew you to want to make that step? I think we have to be reminded of what drew us to these things. I think the second thing I would do is take stock of your own value system. Of take time, write down three things that you are most, what you say is most meaningful or what you value. Write them down and then take stock next to them of how are you living in that in your daily life? What are the activities you're doing? If you say relationships are the most important thing to me, okay. So, and I do this on a regular basis, and sometimes I'm like, wow, I am really off the mark. No wonder I'm feeling so anxious and a mess. And it is that if I say relationships is core, but for the last 3 weeks, I haven't reached out to one person who's meaningful to me and had a meaningful conversation, or everything that I've talked about has been, you know, more superficial, then I'm not living in that value or that value system or that meaning. And so taking stock of that. So if you write those three things down, and then what you strive for of what's meaningful and value to you, and then what are you doing every day to do that? It gives you an idea to say, okay, how can I begin to shift my daily life to make sure that I am engaging in these things that I say are most valuable to me? And what you find often, what we find, what I found in my life is many times I'm habitually doing things that are different than what I even intend or want to do, and it requires us to step back and say, okay, I need to create this new habit of making sure I'm doing this and fostering this every day. If I say emotional health is important, my physical health is important, and then I also say in the same breath, I don't have time to work out or to meditate or to do these things, then something's off there, right? Because taking the time to actually do the workout or that meditation is actually going to enable you to be much more effective in your day-to-day.
Now, amazing. And I really love that, because it's so easy to get off the chart and your purpose, because everybody's pulling you in different directions, especially if you're good at something. But get back to your core, sit down and do this somewhere undisturbed.
And it's not this is not waiting till you feel like doing it. It's creating healthy habits again, but those habits involve more than just to-do lists and tasks. They involve my own emotional, relational, spiritual health. It involves how do I connect to that meaning every day, and even when I don't feel like it. And that's critical to long-term sustainable success that I would call success, is living life that's full, that's connected, that allows you to exercise your gifts and talents in ways that bring joy, but that they connect you to others and that they help you make a contribution to society. That's success. And out of those things, we're at our best.
Thank you so much, Dr. Benjamin Holtberg, for doing this, for sharing your tools, your journey, your research. It's been a true pleasure talking to you here today. I learned a lot, and I'm certain that people that are watching and listening to this will learn a lot too.
Yeah, and if you want more resources, the Thrive Center for Human Development is launching some new resources on there in the next couple months. You can follow me on my social media. At times I try to do better at commenting on things more often. I come, let's do this together, and can each connect to our own purpose so that we can have a shared purpose to not only perform optimally and see incredible things happen in this world, but also to have a more generous, more connected society that allows us to live a full life together. So
incredible. And thank you, Panos, for sponsoring us. Check them out at panos.com. If you like what we do, subscribe, share this conversation with friends, family, or someone that you really think need this, and maybe share it with someone that would never be interested in something like this, because this might be exactly what they need to change the way they think and start living purposefully. So thank you, everybody, and see you guys soon.